We told you earlier we were going to talk to somebody called Tony Gosling. Many of you will know Tony. Tony is our politics man on BCFM radio. He has the politics show between 5 and 7 o'clock every Friday, Friday evening. Now, he's here this morning to talk about the Merchant Venturers. We had a hoo-ha with Bishop Mike Hill, the Anglican Bishop of Bristol, over a month ago now. It was Tony Gosling that was there, filming secretly with his camera at the cathedral where there was a service part of Tony, you're gonna have to fill me in a little bit because part of my memory's gone.
Okay.
But you were filming at a service that you weren't supposed to be filming at.
Well, I don't know about that.
I think, out.
Yeah, well, look,
what the bishop was saying.
The way it's happened is, I mean, look, I worked for the BBC in the 1990s. And I've also done a website about this organisation, the Bilderbergs. They're a massive, basically they control most of the money in the Western world. Very secretive organisation that meets once a year. And I'm also an ex-squatter. So I've got a sort of very broad, I think, view of things. Okay. Now, look.
Let
when
me just ask
when it came to
who
the
you are, first of all. Let's establish who you are and why you're saying what you're saying.
And I do the politics show from 5 to 7 every Friday on here. So, look. The Merchant Venturers, when I first came to Bristol, I was a little bit suspicious about them because there'd just been a documentary on HTV. Now, it's the only documentary that's ever been made. This is back in the old days when they used to make documentaries. Nowadays, basically, they're just sitting there doing the nightly news, but there isn't really much. HTV's disappeared. Mm. It's been subsumed by this giant ITV for the whole of the country. And, you know, I looked at the what was going on with the merchants, and I see them rather like the international Bilderbergers. They're sort of behind the scenes, and we can vote for whoever we want, but they still own things. You know, they own the city. Ultimately, they own vast areas of land up in Clifton. They're also directors and shareholders of some of the biggest institutions. I'm talking about banks, utility companies, and they're I see them as almost like the permanent government. These are the guys that actually really own things, and it doesn't matter who you vote for, they're still going to own it.
But Tony, surely people will say, they say the same thing about me, Pat, you're a conspiracy theorist, here you go again, these people own this. No, it's not true, none of it's true. How do you know? Are you not just one of those moany journalists that wants to, you know, I'm not saying make up stuff, but this is what the critics will say, you just want to have a go at the establishment because you're left wing and you don't like the way things are at the moment. Isn't that your reasoning behind your saying what you're saying?
Well, yes, I mean, I veer to the left for a basic reason. That's because I believe in equality. And what we're seeing in Britain is a big, big gulf opening up between the rich and the poor. For example, we were talking about the utility companies just then, which, for example, Chris Curling, who's the new master of the Merchant Venturers, he sits on the board of Bristol Water. Now, this morning in a report which has been released by the government,
what's he called?
Master. It's a bit Doctor Who, isn't it?
Yeah.
The Master of the Merchants. Now, the utility companies just a big report out this morning about them, saying that this is something that many of us know, but we need to be reminded, is that they charge poor people more than they charge rich people. This isn't a regressive tax. And what we're seeing is this is actually dividing, it's driving a wedge through society.
How do they do that?
Well, because for things like key meters, for example, if you're paying by direct debit, which many poor people cannot afford to do, as you simply cannot say you can take whatever you want out of my bank account.
I get you now.
And that's what's happening there. But anyway, the origins, I think, of the merchants are fascinating, and they go right back into medieval times when the control of trade by ships, all the trade was done by ships in those days, was done by these sort of networks around Europe. It started in the 1200s with something called the Hanse, which was from Holland and Germany. And then there was an organisation set up called the Merchant Adventurers, which was right across Europe. It controlled the trade.
So like the merchants effectively were those people that ran
the Bristol version of these older organisations.
Okay.
And they like to keep a monopoly on things. So in other words, you weren't going to ship anything from anywhere to anywhere without their say-so.
Okay.
A little bit, you know, it's a little bit like a sort of a roof. I shouldn't say the mafia, but, you know, that's
what
people
have. Well, I
was going
to say, it sounds similar to, like, the drug cartels that we read about and whatever, is that, you know, if you're operating, you need to be operating under this, you know, under this umbrella, otherwise you ain't going to operate.
Yeah, it's what they call a roof. You need a roof. If you're going to operate, where's your roof?
You know?
And so the merchants actually themselves started, they've got their royal charter in 1552.
Okay.
Now, the interesting thing about their royal charter, I mean, you might think, well, that sounds nice. It's something you can put on the wall.
Yeah.
But they don't have to file any accounts at Company's House. For all that time, they've never had to.
Why not?
Now, they've got other sorts of
because they have a royal
subsidiaries, because they've got the charter, yeah.
Okay.
And this is one of the advantages, and it means that it's very difficult to find out exactly what numbers of shares they own, because that's what they're basically about. They've got massive investments, and they're getting a return on those shares.
And how much do you think they're worth in Bristol?
Oh, God, I just can't tell you.
Oh, come on, give us
because
an idea.
No.
£10,000, £100,000,
impossible.
£5 million,
it must
£10 million?
I mean, it's into the many, many multi-millions.
Right.
I mean, we know the mayor, George Ferguson, who used to be a merchant venturer,
right.
is a millionaire. You know, he's
yeah,
got
yeah,
more
yeah.
Than,
we
you
know that.
We
yeah.
know that. But the actual organisation...
He doesn't hide that, does he?
No, I'm not saying he does. Yeah. But you see, you've got a big organisation. I think it's about 85 now. Merchants, they got a maximum number of 85, which included Margaret Thatcher when she was alive.
Right.
It's got the Queen, the Duke of Edinburgh, and many of the great and good of the entire country.
Let's focus on Bristol. Let's focus on Bristol, though, and just give us. So there'll be people listening. Okay, we've heard of the Merchant Venture. We know who they are. Big deal. They're rich people. They've got a royal charter. They own a few bits and pieces. We know what their history is. So why should we be worried and disturbed? One of them happens to be on the board of Bristol Water. So what?
No, it's not just one of them. Look, in this documentary I mentioned back from 1995, it explains that all of the major institutions in the city have got a lot of merchant ventures on them. That's basically where you'll find them.
Right.
Things like the banks,
yeah.
the big oil companies they've got shares in, for example. The media, at the time the documentary was made, they were chairing the company that owned the Bristol Evening Post.
Do you want a clip
utility
of this?
Companies?
Yeah.
Also, NHS Trust, both of our NHS Trusts that have a spend of £1 billion together
yeah.
every year of our money, are both chaired by merchant venturers. The Central Bristol Trust, which is University Hospitals Bristol Trust, is chaired by John Savage, who's a former master of the Merchant Venturers.
Right.
And the North Bristol Trust is chaired by Peter Rillett, or Rylett, who's also a Merchant Venturer. So they're in some of these key positions. The other thing is that we've got this thing now called the Local Enterprise Partnership. This was trumpeted last year
LEP,
by
yeah,
Nick
yeah.
Clegg.
Right.
Came to town and said, we're going to do a city deal and your Local Enterprise Partnership's going to get loads of new power as well.
Don't tell me Merchant Venturer chairs
it. It's chaired by a Merchant Venturer, and it's
okay.
run in secret. They are managing now all our public land, for example. Something called the Public Property Board is part of the Local Enterprise Partnership.
Should we play a piece of this?
They're managing our public land, and we're not allowed to go into the meetings. We're not allowed to see what's happening.
Do you want to hear this? So just explain what we're going to listen to.
Right. Well, back in 1997, when we had a functioning ITV company here called HTV that were making both. I mean, I think probably by 1995 they'd stopped making dramas, but they did make dramas in the 1970s and 80s. Some brilliant dramas. This was a documentary called West Eye View, made by their head of news and current affairs, James Garrett, who's still around the city, and he's done an excellent job in that documentary, which you can view online, in pulling apart who these people are.
In tonight's West Eye View, an exclusive report on the secretive organisation which has dominated Bristol for 500 years.
It's not the sort of society that you can pick up the telephone and and ask to become a member.
So who are they? What are they?
They're supposed to be the most powerful people in the city.
Never heard of them.
We've nothing to hide. We're not a secret society. We're working as an organisation with the best endeavours of a community at heart.
This table has been laid for one of the grandest and most exclusive banquets to be held in Bristol this year. Most people didn't even know it was happening. It's the annual audit dinner of the Society of Merchant Venturers, probably the most influential people in the city. This is the first film ever to be made about a previously secretive organisation which has played a leading role in the city's affairs since the Middle Ages. The Society of Merchant Venturers began as the corporate voice of the traders who made Bristol the country's second biggest port. Its members profited from the slave trade and earlier had financed the voyage which led to the colonisation of North America.
There you go, an excerpt from an old HTV documentary about the Merchant Venturers. We're talking to Tony Gosling. Let's just establish a little bit more about the Merchant Venturers, then I'd like to talk about the Bishop and what he said and why you went in and recorded that. I know you were probably asked to leave as well.
Well, it wasn't actually secret filming, you know. Actually, what I did is I just stuck my phone up on one of the pillars. I wasn't being secretive about it. It's just no one happened to notice. Yeah, I mean, the thing is, it was a...
But they wouldn't have... If you said, I want to record it, what would they have told you?
I don't think they probably have wanted me to, and in fact that's the whole point, because it was a private cathedral service. This is what quite a few people I've spoken to were quite shocked. Oh, do you mean they can actually just book the cathedral? Well, they did for a couple of hours back at the beginning of November, and they do it every year. It's something called Charter Day.
Do you think people care anymore? And the reason I ask that is that if you look at the you know, the Bristol Post, and you read the comments from you know those readers, whether people say only 7 or 10 or 20 people will ever read that paper anymore, but do you think people care anymore?
Well, I know they do, because I was involved in the I was on the board of the Bristol Cultural Development Partnership back in 2006 and 2007, in the run-up to the 200th anniversary of the abolition of slavery, and at least the abolition of the slave trade was abolished. And in 2007, there was a fantastic exhibition, if anyone remembers seeing it, back at the old Empire and Commonwealth Museum at Temple Meads, called Breaking the Change, which won all sorts of awards. In fact, a lot of people didn't realise, but behind the scenes, there was a real fight that the director of the museum, Gareth Williams, Gareth Griffiths had to get the £1 million. He was offered £1 million lottery funding for the exhibition, and then he had a real tussle and a real fight because they weren't happy with some of the, you know, nitty-gritty issues he was getting into in the exhibition. Then finally, the exhibition happened. I went along and spent probably 3 or 4 hours in it. It was in a fantastic exhibition, I think. But the evidence you asked for was, what do people think? Well, we did surveys around the city at the time and found that people did care, and what they really wanted was some kind of permanent memorial to what happened back all those years ago in the city somewhere.
We don't have one.
Well, we don't. We don't have anything. And I think this is something that if the Merchant Venturers really do want to come to grips with their involvement in the slave trade, having profited from the slave trade, I'd like to see them say, well, yes, we will have some sort of permanent memorial, and we will let it be led by, in fact, the, you know, curated by the community that was a victim, you know, the black and ethnic minority community.
Sure.
So that then puts some meat, I suppose, on the words, where they say, oh yes, well, we are sorry about this.
So you believe there's a resistance amongst the Merchant Venturers? Are there any...
They're in denial.
Can I ask
they're
a question? In denial. Are there any black Merchant Venturers?
As far as I know, none at all, no. Okay. Certainly, I didn't see any when I was in the... Because they all kind of troop into the private thing in the cathedral.
Do they dress in their, like, special uniforms or something?
They all dress up. Well, they have their top hats on, but they don't... You know, the men don't wear them in the cathedral.
Right.
The women wear all their hats, the ladies. And, you know, it is... I just find that the whole thing is a little bit nasty today, when we've got such income inequality, and these people... One of the things they say, Pat, is, and you regularly get this, we put more into the city than we take out. Well, then show us your accounts. Because actually, I think what's happening is they're creaming off a little bit from all of our utility bills and going into the coffers of the Merchant Venturers.
But you say you think that. What evidence do you have?
Well, we have evidence that they have shares. I mean, from the last investigation that was done by Rich Cookson from The Big Issue, that they do have investments in utility companies, oil companies, this kind of thing. So it's like every time you're filling up your tank, a little bit's going to them.
Okay, but you're quoting some research from The Big Issue, and surely if that's from The Big Issue, then that's going to be on the side of those without. It's an initiative set up for homeless people.
Let me explain. I don't think it is. No, because it's one of the only times that anyone, Rich Cookson, has spent literally months actually trying to find out and go through the accounts as much as possible. Now, obviously, as I said, they don't file accounts because they've got a Royal Charter Act Companies House, but some of their subsidiaries do. So he managed to find out quite a bit about what their investments were through that.
Okay.
And it's quite clear that they have a big investment in those sorts of utility companies, the sort of things we need every day. The banks, for example. Now, listen, I call them the banksters because, you know, if you look at what's been going on in the City of London over the last 7 or 8 years, you've found money laundering going on, fixing the LIBOR rates, foreign exchange fixing,
yeah, but none
all
of these
this kind of thing.
Hardly any of these
and yet none of,
go
them
to
have
prison.
Been, none of them have been prosecuted.
Yeah. Sorry, yeah. I'm not supposed
They've
to be on your
They've been fined
side.
Out of court. They've yeah. been fined out of court. Yeah. Now, I mean, we've got a dreadful situation with the economy, supposedly, this, whatever it is, £1.4 trillion
debt. If you con £67.50 from your working tax credit, the chances are, if you don't tell the truth, you'll go to prison, right? If you're a working person, £67.50, you'll go to prison. But if you're a bankster, what happens?
Well, they're so-called too big to jail, aren't they? Never mind too big to fail.
Okay. Listen.
So there is an elite, and I think the merchants are Bristol's elite.
We're going to stop there just for now.
This is your award-winning One Love Breakfast, online and on your mobile. On BCFM 93.2 and Ujima 98. The information
you need.
Live from inner city Bristol, the One Love Breakfast.
We're talking to Tony Gosling in just a tick. Talk about the Merchant Venturers. Are they just a little group of old men that dress up in funny costumes and drink sherry together? Or is it a little bit more sinister? Are they like a mafia-style organisation that quietly control areas of the city, control our lives, control our incomes, like the Freemasons? Do they have people on committees and chairing organisations that in actual fact do end up controlling what happens in the city? Is it as sinister as that? Tony Gosling, our politics editor, presenter of the politics show on BCFM, and also a whole host of other programmes, former BBC journalist as well. Tony, is it that sinister, or are they just a group of funny old men that want to just carry on and keep their club alive?
Well, one of the sinister things I did find was that they've got this kind of big badge up on Merchants Hall, which is up on the promenade,
yep.
In Clifton, just up by the Downs there. And they've got a Latin slogan, which of course most people walking past would never bother to translate or wouldn't know what it meant. It's Indocilis Pauperium Patti. Now, anyone like to guess what that means?
Oh, they've got my name on there. No, I don't
Indocilis
know.
Pauperium Patti.
Patti. What does it mean?
What it means is the poor are stupid and long-suffering.
Are you serious?
I'm deadly serious. That's what it translates as. The poor are stupid and long-suffering. So I think that's a bit of a sort of taking the mickey kind of insult and arrogant of them to have that kind of slogan stuck there. And, you know, there is something a little sinister, isn't there, about any organisation which isn't transparent about what they do.
The translation, is that really, really, or could it be, you know, a little bit like people would say that, you know, some Latin is an exact language, and
I got my Latin dictionary.
Could it not be interpreted in another way?
I translated it in exactly what my Latin dictionary
said. So that word, for example, could it not say, like, you know, the poor are hopeless, or the poor are... could it not mean something else? Or is it? Are you just saying, look, this is the translation
possibly a positive spin on it. If I was their PR people, I would say. The poor are stupid and they have suffered such a lot.
Yeah.
And they could say it as such a, you know, in a sort of sad way.
Yeah.
But I think it's also, you know, it's open to misinterpretation, and it's open to quite a sinister interpretation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they are, I suppose one of the things that really concern me more than anything else about this is that when the bishop said what he did at the beginning of last month, and do you want me to run past exactly what he said or not?
We tweeted the bishop refused to come on here. He went on the good old friendly BBC, but he wouldn't come on here, blaming me because I apparently said something. All I said, do you remember what I tweeted, Carolyn? Because Carolyn, our producer, blames me as well. But tell me why.
You put something on there around him adding fuel to the fire.
Yes, I said, can you please clarify your comments? You know, your silence only adds fuel to the fire. And the comments that I understood were made were comments that insinuated to a group of impressionable, maybe 500 young kids, all part of the Merchant Venturers schools and whatever, and the Merchant Venturers, insinuated that you know, maybe we shouldn't question this man's reputation and moral standing. The fact that he was a slave trader, he made all his money, all these accusations were possibly questionable. That's what I got from what he said. And to me, that is a despicable bit of lying, brainwashing, not even misinterpretation, just straight lies to a group of impressionable children because he seems to have been serving the merchant venturers. And when you are a man of faith, not just a normal everyday priest or vicar or reverend, you're a bishop. And if you say something like that to me, and I'd say it still now, there's never been an apology, just an explanation that says, well, you know, I was misinterpreted. Well, fine, maybe you feel you were, but you've never said sorry to the thousands of people who you've caused offence to. So that's why.
And also, just on that, I did go back and say, you know, the door is open. As in, if you want to come in and explain, that's what we're asking you to do. So.
You know, as far as I'm concerned, you know, Mike Hill has said a lot of stuff about homelessness and said and done some amazing things in this city to try and support the plight of those without. But when it comes to race, I'm sorry, you've let me down, and I think you've given anybody, you know, from the Christian religion, an extremely bad reputation. That's just my view on it. Sorry, I had to tie my colours to the mast. Tony, your thoughts, and you have a transcript, and you were there.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that there has, remember, from the time immemorial in this country, we've had quite a good tradition of non-conformism. That is to say, Christians who do not go along with the Anglican Church. And here's a very good reason to be a non-conformist, I think.
Right.
I mean, he's saying it's speculation in front of all these school children. But let's think about who those school children are. I mean, we've had this new Merchants Academy, which was set up in Withywood now.
Yeah.
It was funny, isn't it? Because when they talked about having Cabot Circus as the merchant's quarter, there was an outcry.
Yeah.
Oh, we can't have that. Yeah. Oh, but we can have a merchant's academy.
Yeah, you can have it in Withywood, because that's where post readers live.
Yeah, well, in a way, they got away with it, didn't they? I mean, there was complaints from within the merchant venturers. I remember very well the former chairman of HTV, Louis Sherwood, who was a merchant venturer, saying we must not call this Cabot Circus, as it now is, merchant's quarter. But they have got away with it by calling it Merchants Academy. This is the place where they, let's remember, the school where they proposed to have a rifle range as part of the school, to actually train kids to shoot as part of the school. And that was an outcry about that, and that never happened. But this is, you know, this is the sort of thing that they're doing, I think, the merchants now, is they're moving into all sorts of public things that should be public. I actually think that our basic utilities, things like electricity, gas, water, that kind of thing, should be owned by the public for a very good reason, is
that protect us.
The public can then, or the government can provide those services at cost. What we've got now with all those utilities is they're not being provided at cost, they're being provided plus an extra load to the shareholders, like the merchants, for example,
Tony,
and an extra load of money to the
fat
cat
bosses.
I'd
love to get you in on that subject, and I'm not saying that I disagree with you, really. In many ways, I wish you were on here every blooming morning, and then I'd have somebody that I could agree with. But let's go back to this bishop. He hasn't apologised. He stood by what he said to these children, many of whom are going to some very rich they're going to schools that cost a lot of money. Some of them might be on scholarship, but most of them are paying fees to go to these schools. Our future leaders, possibly our future politicians, are being brainwashed into saying a guy that traded in human beings wasn't really such a bad guy after all. Isn't that something pretty despicable to be teaching our kids?
Well, I mean, the estimates there are various different estimates, but around about, they think about 4 to 5 million souls perished on that triangular trade, being captured in Africa and taken over to the Caribbean. And I think that's why this is a serious issue. We're never going to forget that. We're not going to forget it. And if the merchant venturers would like to say that the merchant Edward Colston wasn't involved in profiting, that they didn't get their wealth from that trade, I think the bishop is really ought to recant, because it's not speculation that Edward Colston made a lot of his money like that. It's absolute definite fact.
Yeah.
And to say it's speculation, now, I mean, the key thing here, in many ways, is that the reason that they tried to eject me and see if I had a ticket from that cathedral was because they didn't want anybody in there actually recording what was being said to these kids. Now, I wonder what's going on in other sorts of education over at the Merchants Academy and elsewhere in the schools that the merchants control, when nobody else is allowed in there. What other things are they teaching our children if they're teaching them this nonsense?
I don't know. In terms of the name, the hall, the schools, What's your personal view? And what do you think the view of the Merchant Venturers is in terms of, you know, this man who they want to revere as some kind of prophet or some kind of hero? What is... Do you think... People like Henry Kenyon, who is the chair or was the chair of the Bristol Music Trust, is absolutely scared so-and-so less by readers of the Post and what the reaction will be if they change the name of the hall that's owned by the Bristol Music Trust. What do you think? What are your views on that and the venture Merchant Venturers' role in that?
Well, look, I think the great and good so-called of the city could prove that they are great and good by acknowledging that Edward Colston wasn't just some sort of great patrician benefactor, just like many of the foundation trusts that there are around today are actually fed by what I would call funny money, that is money that's being made, for example, from the arms trade. So we need to look at where that money's coming from. It's no good just saying, oh well, he's done something good with the money, therefore we're not going to ask any questions about where it came from. That, I think, is one of the key issues with the merchants, and that's why they need to have more transparency and, let's say, do something for the city to show they really do understand their history. If they're teaching our children, that's the least that we expect from them.
Why
something
is there no
like,
memorial, Tony?
Well, exactly,
why?
Exactly. I think it's because they want to actually airbrush this nasty past that the merchants were involved with out of history. And let's not forget that even before that, okay, with the exploration of America by John Cabot and the Matthew, what happened when the Matthew went over to the America was kept very, very secret at the time, but it was pretty horrific. They tricked loads of these North American Indian tribes, made out they were their friends, and infiltrated their tribes, killed people in those tribes in order to take over. That was all happening in secret. So there's a very nasty backstory to the way that the merchants were involved in the discovery and the takeover of America, and actually what is effectively genocide, wasn't it, of the North American Indian tribes.
Of course, of course. So much to chew over. Tony, if people want any more information on some of the stuff that you're saying, you have websites and articles that people can check
well,
out.
Well, a lot of our coverage of the merchants has been on our Friday politics show, and you'll find that at thisweek.org.uk, and you can find a little bit more out, because I mean, the thing is, there's a general thing across society at the moment where many people are thinking, what's the point in voting? They don't see the point in actually going to the polls. I would say definitely do go to the polls, right, but bear in mind that there is this permanent government behind the scenes.
George Ferguson, so he's not a merchant venturer anymore?
No, he used to be, but he's not a merchant venturer anymore. The only thing, of course, is, you know, they have their nice little parties. I was there going past the other day, actually, last week.
Yeah.
There were hundreds of, it seemed, people flocking to their marvellous banquets. Are they not going to invite George?
I don't know. I don't know. Prim, by the way, has texted in. There are other texts. He's just said about you, Tony, I love that guy. A true historian.
Okay.
There you go. So that's about Tony Gosling. Tony, thank you very much indeed for coming in on the One Love Breakfast. You need to come in on a regular basis, I think, because there are so many topics we could bring to everyone's attention, especially with elections coming up.
Ooh.
People need to know what's going on. So either come in live or give us some... It would be really good to have you
in.
Will
do, Pat.
All right. Tony, thanks very much indeed.